Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for being over us and in our lives. Thank you for the way you love us. You're so patient and kind. So we pray for your word, God, for the power of your word, your divine truth, that it would nourish us. God, that it would penetrate us and transform us. God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're on our series on kingdom athletics. It's kind of an odd topic. And continue to look at Hebrews chapter 12, talking about running. I think last week we talked about how God had, I believe, invented athletics. So much like the rest of life, to be able for us to viscerally feel, to be able to see and maybe perhaps touch the realities of the kingdom, God has establish certain things in this life. God invented money so we would understand better the worth of God, the value of God, so that when we do worship, worship is the worth of God, the ascribing of the worth to God, so we would understand that reality better. God gave us hands so that when Scripture talks about the hand of God, I mean, God is spirit, so he doesn't physically have hands like we do, but we would understand God. So there's kingdom realities, and God has established life so that we can understand kingdom reality. And sports is one of those things. Just like marriage, right? To be able for us to understand the oneness of the gospel, God invented marriage. So sports, God invented so that we could have a kingdom understanding of what it's like to live the kingdom life and the purpose for why God gave us athletics. And just like marriage, God didn't give us marriage so we wouldn't just have to not be lonely. That wasn't the purpose of marriage. Just like it isn't the purpose of sports just to be good at it or to enjoy it. It's so that we may learn from it. And so that even if you're not physically an athlete, that you would understand what it's like to be an athlete in the kingdom. So today we're going to talk about this idea of clinging off, or to cling off, or lay aside, or to put off. And then what it means to cling on to, in the sense of looking to Jesus, staying focused. So we'll take a look at that. Hebrews 12, so let's dive into these verses. Verses 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. So every day when you get up in the morning, there is a weight and sin that is going to cling on to you. So the cares of this life and sin is very clingy. And so we have to begin to put them off. So that's the picture here. Because athletes can't take on unnecessary weight. That's the point. And then it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Now, it's easy to give up. Now, I don't know if you've ever run before, but when other people stop running, it feels almost okay. I remember when I was going for a long run, and And this is when, you know, I was beginning to run, and it was interesting. I was in the back. I was joining the cross country team, and they let anybody join the cross country team. It's interesting. Cross country team doesn't have tryouts. Like, enduring to the end of the thing is the tryout. Like, if you want to join the soccer team, you have to try out. If you want to join, you know, football, basketball, you have to try out. You have to make the team. But with cross country, like the first day, they ran like 12 miles or something. It's like if you can like endure the first few days, then you can join the team. But I remember, like, I was in the back because I never ran cross country. I was in the back. And I just remember, like, there are certain people who are not used to running. When they stop running, it felt okay that I stopped running. I just didn't want to be the only guy who stopped running. And so, and being in the Army, you know, we run a lot. And so, you know, we do PT every day. And it's like domino effect. You know, like, if the pace is too fast, So you have to get a good pacer, because when the pace is too fast, people will start dropping out of it because you run in formation. Okay? And so when you get somebody who's too ambitious and they start moving out too quickly, then people start falling back. But what's interesting is people will hang on, and then it just takes one person to fall out. And then the second will go, and then before you know it, it's like then the people that are going to fall out are going to all fall out. And so it's easy for us to give ourselves permission not to run the race because we see so many people who have, in a sense, fallen out. And so the writer of Hebrews says, looking to Jesus. Not looking around you. That's the point of those verses, because it's easy, because running in this scene requires endurance. We'll take a look at that. Okay, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And we're going to talk about the idea of the quality of God and the endurance of God. The reason why I say being a kingdom athlete, that's supernatural abilities. See, Christians were called, the reason you get a new heart, the reason you're born again, the reason you're called a new creation is because you're able to do what other people cannot do, that only God can do, and endurance is one of those qualities. So we'll talk about that, because the reason why Christ was able to endure the cross is because that is, that kind of endurance is supernatural. In the Old Testament, the closest thing is the word, Hebrew word, hesed. It denotes covenant loyalty, but it's translated most often as steadfast love. And when we get to endurance, we'll talk a little bit more about that. That's a God quality. So he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, so let's take a look at lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. I remember when I joined the cross country team, and I joined so I can get ready for soccer season, because you know, for soccer is actually just mostly running. Like running into empty space, hoping you'll get the ball sometime, right? And it's just like constantly running into empty space, hoping you'll get the ball. And then when you get the ball, you kick it into empty space, hoping the guy will run there and get it. But I remember when I joined the cross country team, I just remember I wasn't very good, right? And I hated running. But I remember when it came to race time, first of all, everybody went to the bathroom. Everybody wanted to take to lack of a better word, a dump before they start running to cast off any weights, right? That we may unnecessarily be carried. And then I noticed another thing. I mean, people didn't tell me this, But I noticed that the shoes that they wore during racing was different than the shoes they wore for practice. And at first I thought it was just new shoes, you know, just, you know, to be fancy during racing. But then I started, like, a friend of mine had those, that kind of shoes, and I, like, lifted it up, and it was, like, almost weightless. It was just almost weightless. And then I also noticed that slowly all the other runners like me started getting shoes like that. Now, obviously, like, we're just talking about ounces here, right? I mean, the racing shoes are not, like, heavy in the sense that they're not, like, I mean, your running shoes are not like pounds, right? They're just ounces. So they're just shedding ounces. They're getting like clothes. Even the most, I don't know, in the coldest weather, people wear such skimpy clothes. Like when you're running marathons and stuff like that. You know, people who are competitive runners are shedding ounces. Now, I mean, it doesn't help when I'm shedding ounces, when you're like really out of shape, right? So, and I noticed people who are out of shape also getting shoes like that as if that's going to help. But the point is in running, it's about shedding weight. I remember I was in the Army and I was talking to one of the instructors. He goes, hey, now, I had been running, you know, I used to weigh like 128 pounds, I think, in college when I started. I was a really skinny guy, you know, if you can imagine. Use your imagination. Anyway, but I remember like when I, at the end of, when I started, you know, getting up in the, you know, just like lifting weights, and then I started gaining a little weight. I remember I was going up to this instructor and goes, hey, man, what, I got this PT test coming up, this physical exam coming up, and what's your advice, you know, to shave time to, you know, to run really well, you know, for this test? He goes, Henry, why don't you just lose some weight? I was like, what? What are you talking about, man? Like, I thought you were going to, like, you know. But he was like, yeah, if you actually shave a few pounds, right, like a couple pounds, like, you'll be surprised how much that's going to help you. I was like, wow. Like, I never even thought about that. I mean, just the point is, though, there's this idea, right? Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Like, the reason you're like sluggish in this Christian race is because you have weight and sin that's like clingy, right? And so, like, your weekends really matter more now. It clingy to you. Like, you know, I was at like the, Mark and I, we were at a 1 year birthday, and I don't mean to, you know, say it in a disparaging way, but I just noticed, like, and Robert's going to talk about this. They were announcing like the coronavirus, you know, like I think a lot of churches are considering going online and things like that, you know, like the bigger churches anyway. But I remember the, you know, this church was like talking about, you know, going online. And then I saw a little glee, you know, from some of the, you know, like the people talking about going online. It wasn't like, oh man, we're gonna have to stop meeting, man. You know, I think we're gonna have to go online. You know, it wasn't like distrust, like, yeah, we're gonna have to go online. You know? And some of you are like, oh really? Are we gonna do that? And you know, okay, hey. Don't get so gleeful. But I'm just saying, it's like clingy, these things, right? Like when we announce, like, hey, home group is canceled, you're like, ooh, yeah, like, catch up on my Netflix, right? I mean, it's clingy. It's like, it's welcomed, let me put it that way. All right. Now, some commentators look at weight, right, and sin very differently. And I just want you to understand, you know, for us to understand weight, you have to understand sin. And I think they're two sides of the same coin. And so we can, I know we read these verses so that we can understand it like from this perspective as well. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So Christ comes to take away sin, and sin is defined as being lawless, right? So let's take a look at what law is so we can understand lawlessness. And we read these verses before, so I think it won't be new. Galatians 5:14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. So to understand sin is whatever it is that keeps you from bearing one another's burdens and really truly caring for those around you. So that's sin. And so therefore, that's weight. And when weight is piled on too much and it's keeping you from making the call to make available some days that you don't want to make available or to give in such a way as to lighten the load of another person, well, that's weight that we need to lay off or cast away or cling off. And so the idea of Romans 6:12 then is, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. It isn't to have a do not do this list. It's don't take on so much weight that now you're bogged down. Like now you're not doing something that God wants you to do. You're not now inviting somebody on this day because you got to catch up on some kind of K-drama series. Or because you got this or you got that going on. Or your kids are too involved. Whatever it is that's keeping you from running the race. That ultimately, right, will bless you. So sin is those things that carries on such a weight, now I just don't have that much time for others. Talking about false teachers, Jude says this, these are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. Now, the word boaster is hooperunkos. Sorry. Unkos is actually the Greek word for weight. So hyper, right? That's the word hyper in English. And it's those who have taken on too much weight are those who are actually called arrogant and those who are boasters. So if you actually find that you have taken on some weight and you're not pursuing a life of love, then you'll notice that you actually subtly begin to boast about where you are in life. And you'll begin to have reasons why you want to feel good about why you're not doing that. Because you have reasons. And you have something to show for it. You'll have to have a crown to show for it. You'll have to have a chronos. Okay, that's just a little pun, right? Right? But the chronos means crown, by the way, right? 2 Timothy 2:4, it says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So you can see here an athlete just is not a civilian. Civilian is someone who takes on the weight. They consider things of leisure. And so it's very easy when, as believers, we begin to look at civilians
other people not looking to Jesus and looking at non-athletes and going, well, I think I'm okay. Not looking at other soldiers, right? But looking at other civilians and going, well, they get to go on vacation. They get to buy, you know, like these kinds of things. They get to do this. Well, we're not civilians. And so an athlete's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Well, what's the rule? What rule is the law? What's the law? Bear one another's burdens, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the rule. Well, we want to come up with a different kind of rule. The kind of rule that we want to compete. Well, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to whose rule? Well, God's rule. Again, looking to Jesus, because he gets to set the rule. And so we have to understand, we got to stop looking around to compare ourselves to make us feel, because the reason there is hooperonkos, right? The reason why we get to boast is because we have now have a different rule. And now we're actually pretty good in that rule. And so now we feel like we can boast as if we're crowned. Matthew 6:30 says, "Oh, you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying that what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." See, the thing about, you know, being an athlete is, in order to, you know, to be an athlete, you have to have time. You know? And time is something that is a precious commodity in our culture. Everything, just, there's so many things that screams for our attention everywhere. Phone being probably a low-hanging fruit there. Priority is what gives you that margin to run the race, to go to training, to be able to live, right, the athlete's life. If whatever your reason is, like, I can't do this because I got all these things that keeps me from running the race. Like, I have all these things. And then we boast about it. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. It's so hard. We boast about the weight. We get into hyperonkos, right? Like, there is not a boasting about that. There is a contrition to say, hey, this is a precious life. This is the race set before us. This is the path to blessing and freedom. If you're too busy to have people over, if you're too busy to get with folks, if you're too busy to really care and bear somebody's burdens, then you're too busy. The idea is what Christ talks. This is the athlete's knife is not for a super Christian. The athlete's light is actually the call of every Christian. Luke 14:33. "So therefore, if any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Like, we hold these things. When I say these things, everything loosely, so that if it takes on too much weight, right? Well, then we've taken on too much weight. Running with endurance, looking to Jesus. We talked about the quality of God, right? The word endurance, right? The word hypomone is the word endurance, okay? Hypomeno is the verb to endure. So when we run with endurance, it's so that we could be steadfast. It's the same word. In Greek, steadfastness is the same word as endurance. So when we talk about hesed, right, from the Old Testament, that word, the steadfast love of God, was only ascribed to God. People did not have hesed. Only God had steadfast love. Okay? Only God loved with endurance. It's only in the New Testament where you begin to see steadfastness be called upon by his people. And then you begin to, you know, hear Jesus say things like, well, you got to forgive not 7 times, but 70 times 7. You hear things like that. So when is it enough? But he's such a jerk. This person is saying some really offensive things. How much do I need to endure? Well, God would say, it is in your interest to grow in endurance, because only God endured the cross or endures pain and suffering and shame for the sake of another. That's hesed. Now, the call of God to be great like that is new. Matthew 24:11, talking about false prophets, people who teach a different kind of Christianity. So Jesus is talking about this, about the end times. And this is what he says. This is what Jesus himself says. False prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness, where did we hear that word? Well, that's the exact definition of sin. And because sin will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Well, because everything else, right, secondary to love is growing, is increasing. Of course love is getting cold. That means we're getting so busy that love is grown cold. We've taken on too much weight. And here it is. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The ones who fight taking on weight. That is the quality of a believer. Nobody, Jesus said this. Why? Because God, in his essence, is the one who endures. Endurance and love, right? Hesed means steadfast love. If you look up and Google steadfast love, it'll all point to that one word, hesed, in Hebrew. In the Old Testament. And why is that? And Paul says it right here when he talks about love, 1 Corinthians 13:7. He says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, in the godly sense, is not about 7 times. He said, keep it coming. Right? That's why he's now saying, you turn the other cheek. You give the shirt off your back. Forgive him another time. Right? But this is all I got. Well, take the shirt off your back then. You can see Jesus time and time again. Well, this is all I could, in a sense, do. And he's pushing the envelope. Causing us to come back to that same scenario. You failed it last time. Now, try it again. Forgive him again. Okay? I mean, it's constant. Philippians 1:27. Talking about, now this is the worthy life. This is a life worthy of the gospel. It says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. And this is the description. Standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Look, running in the kingdom is not an individual sport. There's so many believers that I know who thinks that being a Christian is an individual thing. It's a team sport. It's a striving side by side. If you got nobody side by side, right, in a team sport, then you're in an individual sport. It's not an individual sport. And here's the reasons. Four. It has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Look, there's no such thing as enduring without suffering. There's no such thing as enduring without pain. All Christians have been granted to suffer and counted as joy. And counted as joy that the one whom we worship has gone before us. And he endured, right? The cross for our sake. So for the sake of someone, for the sake of another, enduring suffering and pain is the very definition of steadfastness. So Paul prefaces this idea of suffering together, striving, right, to be about others. The context is right before it. He says this before he said that. So let's take a look at Philippians 1:21. It says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. What Paul is really saying and reminding us, look, there is nothing in this life to fear. Whatever this life has to offer, whatever it has to offer, it's never going to be better than what we'll have with Christ in eternity. And whatever this life threatens can never take away what you have with Christ for eternity. And Paul is saying, what are you talking about? It's better. Like the thing that we're most afraid of, it's better. It's better for me to depart and be with Christ. But here's the reason why he's not. Right? I don't know if he had an option. I don't know if God was like, okay, Paul, it's your call here. Right? I can take you home. Like, you've run the race. Right? I don't know that. Right? I don't know if that was an option. But Paul is qualitatively making a statement. Right? Really saying, look, whatever this life threatens, got nothing. Because whatever it's going to do to me is actually going to propel me into the greatest desire of my heart, and that is to be with the Lord. I'm not afraid. It says, but this is what he says, convinced of this, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. But if I'm going to live this life, I'm not going to live it for me. Living for me, I would be rather with Christ. But if I'm going to live this life, right, remain in the flesh. But remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. I'm going to live for you. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. See, and that's what makes his stay actually fruitful and amazing. Right? That's freedom. Because the worst thing that can happen actually is the best thing that could happen. But if I'm going to stay, it's going to be about you, right? And that actually will now benefit me even more. And here's James, the half-brother of Jesus, right? This is what he says. For you know that the testing of your faith, whatever is happening in your life, it's testing your faith. Produces what? Steadfastness. Oh. I will say one of the most important qualities of God is his hesed, his steadfast love. And God has now brought us into oneness with him, and we dare now even to think that we can now become like him and have hesed with him. Produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Man, here's what I'm saying. You go from people who are trying to avoid suffering to now you have now a different set of eyes. When you become an athlete, right? Isn't that what they do? The things that most of the population would avoid, they lean into. They look for new opportunities, right? New and more wonderful ways to train and suffer. Why? For the glory that awaits. That's what an athlete does. They don't run away from suffering. That's the point about being an athlete. But if we mistaken all that God brings our way as if that is not going to build steadfastness, then we're mistaken. Right? So whenever life throws whatever at you, and you want to avoid it or run from it, this is what I'm saying. You lean into it. Full of faith. You lean into it. Now, why do we lean into it? Because when we lean into it and we welcome it, it will transform you. It will produce steadfastness in you. That's the promise. That's what God is saying. So let's wrap it up. The gospel of the kingdom of God is not an invitation for those who think that they're great. Right? God is not inviting great people, right? Great athletes into the kingdom. But it's an invitation for those who want to become great athletes. It's like joining the cross country team. It's not like trying out for the football team, folks. If you want to become great, God is a great coach. He will transform your life. And we're going to talk about next week why he's doing this. There's no losing here. You're going to become great. For those who want to become great athletes, willing to lay aside everything for the pursuit. You know, it's like, look, you're being invited into the Olympic Village. Let's just be honest. There are some things you're going to have to give up, right? Do you honestly think that the kingdom of God is anything less than the Olympic Village? Do you? Man, you have no idea what this invitation is. What a privilege it is to be called, right? And that's the point. Endurance, can only be gained by those who pursue to love and be about others' interests in the midst of their own suffering, anger. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin, right? In the midst of your own anger, suffering, pain, and trial, all athletes endure to the end. So that's the wonderful thing, is that you will grow in endurance. That in your anger, you will be able to think about the other person and how you could serve them. You will then, proactively, when you fail time and time again, you will also be interested. Well, how do I not do that again? How can I be about others? One of the things that we talked about last home group was, you know, from the moment we get up, right? It's like breaking out of orbit, okay? The gravity of self-centeredness. From the moment I get up, just thoughts, everything. It's just about me, 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 me. And then when I go to sleep, it's all about me, 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 me. And it's like nonstop. And to break out of that orbit, right? And into freedom. That's what God offers. Because being self-centered is just so tiring. Full of anxiety, full about being worried about the future. You know, just look, when God tells you to prioritize your life and be about Him, all these other things will be added unto you. You're not going to go hungry. You might not get everything you want in this life. But folks, He's not saying it so that He could withhold good things from you. He's saying it because in Christ He's given you everything that is good. There's nothing in this life that could offer anything that could add to what He's already given you. And that's what an athlete is. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just want to thank You, God, for just Your steadfast love for us. God, we want to thank You, Jesus Christ, for Your steadfast endurance, Lord, and love on the cross for us. God, in Your greatest pain, God, You shouted out and cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You have showed us a way of love even in Your deepest sorrows. And for us to even dare to even imagine that we could be like You, what a great privilege, Lord. What an amazing invitation. And so, God, we just pray right now as we step into, God, Your Olympic Village, as we accept Your invitation to live a life, God, that is with such great honor. Would You help us, God? Would you just grant us such faith that we would take that step? Be renewed in our minds. And God, would You help us to lay aside every weight, God, that encumber us, just so grips us with the cares of this life. So help us, God, that we would be about You and we would be about Your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.